Hallelujah. Glory, glory, and glory, and glory. Nothing greater than God's presence. You know why? Because it's home. It's where we came from. It's home. Home. And it's not home on the range, okay? Hallelujah. Woo. Grab your swords for a moment tonight. To Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. How's everybody? Amen. Yes. Blessed and highly flavored. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy. And we have a choice. We have a choice to be joyful or miserable. Doesn't mean that we make that right choice all the time, but we sure can get through it. Amen. That's what I love about when, you know, believers say, yeah, I'm just going through it. Well, praise God. You're going through it. When we're in the world, we're in it. But when you're in Christ, you're going through it. And, you know, every trial and tribulation is just another opportunity to expose your enemy. And you expose your enemy, and God does a quick testing on us, you know, because He's always trying to promote us. He's trying to get us something. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, hallelujah. Then God said what? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have what? Dominion. Everyone say dominion. 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 Say it again, dominion. Over what? Over yourself, yeah. That's the number one we need, there's no doubt about that. Let them have dominion over the... If you can't take dominion over the fish, how are you going to take dominion over yourself? Praise God. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His image, His own light, and His... In His own image, in the image of God, He created man, male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. Be what? Fruitful. And multiply. Fill the earth and do what? Subdue it. And what? Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Dominion. Dominion. It's one of the things that the enemy always tries to remove from me and you. And so if he can move you in, out of that place of dominion, he knows it. He knows, because then what happens is we get entangled and we go back into bondage. You know, the word says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. So one of the things that He's going to try to do is get you to that place where you are focused only on you, me, myself, and I. It's the trinity of flesh. He tries to get you to focus only on you. And then he tries to get you into the place where there's nothing but fear. See, fear causes individuals to focus on themselves. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Amen? So in this, I want to grab hold that dominion is followed by, in the area, first of all, you can't have dominion unless you have authority. Authority is granted or entrusted. Now, authority was granted and entrusted to Adam and Eve. Amen? Now, one of the things that the enemy tries to do in dethroning us from this place, because we have seats of dominion. Everyone say, I have a seat. I am seated in a place of dominion. Granted and entrusted by God Almighty. Nothing that I did, but everything that He did. Amen. Now in this, Adam and Eve were entrusted and granted this authority, because without authority you can have no dominion. And of course we know that they fell. They committed the act of sin, and the act of sin is called transgression, by eating of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They lost authority and dominion because they rebelled. But they didn't rebel because they wanted to rebel. They got rebelled because they were deceived. Everyone say deceived. Go to Genesis 2 and verse 8. So the Lord created man and male and female, and he said, listen, I'm giving you this authority and dominion, and this is for the purpose of the whole earth. In other words, God gave the earth to man. And in verse 8, it says, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. In other words, he seated the man there. He seated the man with authority and dominion. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we know that they were told not to eat it, right? And go to verse 16. And the Lord God what? Commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely what? You're going to die. In other words, you're going to be removed from the seat of authority and dominion. Does everybody got this? And so Adam, who had a dominion and authority, and I'm going to go a little bit further on this, him and Eve had dominion and authority. And of course, we know that the serpent deceived them, and they lost that dominion and authority because of what? Transgression, the act of sin. That's one of the things that will move you from the seat of dominion. Because we are seated in dominion. Seats of dominion. Has everybody got that? So grab hold of this, because this is important. Because remember, the enemy is trying to get you into a place to dethrone you. Because we've been granted authority and dominion. And so many times what he does is he... Remember, how did he deceive Eve? He spoke, didn't he? He spoke. He deceived her by first speaking. Then she agreed. She took and committed the act. And when she committed the act, we see that sin, fear followed in that whole arena. Now, in verse 18, would you read it with me? And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be what? Alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them. He did what? He brought them to Adam. Why did he bring them to Adam? Because he had authority and dominion, didn't he? Now, to see what he would what? Call them. So Adam was going to name the animals. Does everybody got it? And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Because Adam was placed in a seat of authority and dominion. So Adam gave names all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Poor guy had to go to sleep. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. And he woke up and found he had to share this dominion. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Again, Adam was granted authority and dominion. God put him in a place, seated, a seat of dominion. And even again, the animals were brought to Adam. And he named all the animals. So in this, remember that when they got deceived, Satan deceived them, the serpent deceived them, they lost dominion, didn't they? Amen? But thank God that on the way out of the garden, God killed an animal and restored. Because they tried to do it in their own strength with fig leaves, and the Lord killed an animal, and he restored Now, he didn't restore life, but he restored authority. Not over the whole world. The ruler of the world was now Satan. But Adam and Eve were restored authority. So everybody got it. And 2 Corinthians verse 11. God is a covenant God. So he still told him to go out and be fruitful and multiply. That was restored. And they did, but it wasn't according to the original plan. In 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? Oh, that you would bear with me a little following, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I what? I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, the serpent deceived Eve. Eve deceived Adam. Amen? So it was passed down. One deceived the other, and things have been deceived ever since. In other words, what we are, the ruler of the world, is deception. You and I were brought forth in sin. We were in deception. We believed a lie our whole life. We lived that lie until we are born again, and truth comes in, and we realize that we've been lied to. Well, we've been lied to in the area that we don't have dominion. Because we do. See, the devil fears you more than you fear him. The whole thing is, if he can dethrone you, if he can take you out of that place of what God has seated you. And 1 Samuel, and I'm going to show you here, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Again, as a man thinks, so he is. 1 Samuel 15, King Saul was their first king. And he thought he was doing the right thing, but he wasn't. He was told out to go out and kill. First Samuel, verse 15 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? Verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Now listen, he wasn't told to bring back the king. He was told to kill him. Verse 21, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now he called. Now he grabbed hold of this because he told Samuel, "The Lord your God." But the thing was is that he compromised what God asked him to do. Instead of killing everything and not taking their spoil, he brought back the sheep. He brought back the king. And this is what Samuel said to him, the prophet, in verse 22. So Samuel said, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Verse 23. For what? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being what? King. Wow. In other words, he was going to be dethroned, wasn't he? Because of what? Rebellion. He sinned. He didn't obey the Lord. In verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I what? Feared the people and obeyed their voice." Again, these are two areas that the enemy uses to try to dethrone us, remove us from that seat of dominion and authority. He tries to move you out from transgression and sin or fear, one or the other. And there's areas of fear that we're going to talk about later. But right now, I want to share with you in place an impartation to let you know who we are. And the dominion and authority that God has given me and you. And if we allow transgression and sin and these fears to manipulate us and move us from that area, to move us out of that seat of position, the enemy attempts to take you out. You know, it's so many times that people say, "Well, you know, the devil has got nothing in me." Let me tell you something. even though we have dominion or we have authority and so forth over the powers of darkness, if you don't put them into practice and use them, you're not doing anything. Then you're already being manipulated. Well, the devil doesn't bother me. Well, obviously you must be doing something that the devil doesn't need to bother you. You're obviously not a threat. Because he goes after anyone. The word says that he seeks whom he can what? Devour. That's why the word says be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary is seeking whom he can devour. So one of the things he's trying to do is get you out of the position of the seat of dominion. Because he knows. Again, he fears us. He fears those who are spirit-filled, power of Christ, the anointing. He fears us who want to walk up upright. He fears us because we know, he knows that we can expose his kingdom, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. He knows that. Everyone has been taken from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light should be turning around and kicking butt on the devil. That should be sport. Should be a new, you know, sport. Devil slayers. Demon slayers. And Revelation chapter 1. Thank God he had a plan called grace. And in that plan, he said, I'm coming. I'm going to put on flesh and I'm going to come into this realm. I'm going to come with grace and truth. And I'm going to leave my spirit and my sword with you. And I'm going to replace you and restore you into the place that was granted with authority and dominion. But you must keep it. You must utilize it. You must stir yourself up into it. And John, who said in verse 10, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, in Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven lamps, golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. Now, just take a moment and think about if Jesus showed up in your bedroom like this. I think it might put a little spark in your water. In verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. In other words, he took dominion back. He took dominion back to those who were willing to follow him. And he was going to grant the seat of dominion to anyone willing to follow him. But first, we get authority. Authority is an area where we must submit. So everybody got it. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. You know, if we're in an area where we're rebellious, we're in transgressions, are we submitting to authority? No, that's why the word says, submit to God and resist the devil. If you're not submitting to authority, you have none. And if you don't have authority, you don't have dominion. And that means that you've been taken from that seat of dominion. And in Matthew 16, in verse 19, is everybody there? And remember, Jesus said, I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And because he restored our place, he had to first restore. And in verse 19, he says, and I will what? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know, did you ever notice that if you ever go in a building, the person that's got the most keys has got authority? It must be the janitor, but he's got more keys. He's got authority over more of the building than the people that are there. You know? I mean, he's got a load of keys, man. Yeah, just look for the one with a lot of keys. They usually have authority. Either that or a key collector, I don't know. But Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I will restore. I will give you authority and dominion. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's authority and dominion. In fact, that dominion is not only in this realm, but it's in the spiritual realm. It's in the heavenlies. So what we've gotten now, we've got a dominion over both realms, in both areas. That's why we can bind principalities and powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. We can take dominion on it. You know, Daniel said he had a visitation from an angel, and he was praying, and it took the angel 21 days to bring him a message. And he said that he had a fight with the prince of Persia, and he wait for Archangel Michael to come and show up and help him. Well, you know what? We've got dominion and authority now because we've been seated there. That's all we need to do is bind all the powers of darkness that are coming against the angels working on our behalf. Let's give them a break. It won't take 21 days to get an answer. Amen? Because we have dominion now. We have authority and dominion. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, authority and dominion. Whatever you do in the natural will be done in the spiritual. Amen? But people don't take these. They don't do them. Oh, God loves me. Yes, he loves you so much. He paid the price for you, and he left you a sword. In fact, he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring you a sword. And we need to utilize this. This is not religion. There's a war going on. We are a part of an eternal army. And the commander, his name is Jesus. He's the chief and commander. And it's time that the body of Christ started acting in an area of militant instead of all of the soulless foolishness. They need to start stepping up. You know, we're to take it by force. And you're going to take it by force in prayer. Man, we get together, we praise and worship, we do the war dance. Yeah. And we pull down principalities and powers of darkness. When we were praying in the Spirit, the Lord said, I saw it. It was people where the powers of darkness were being pushed back. See, we're to make room for Daddy. Does everybody got it? That's why the prophets used to go, the praise and worship used to go before the prophets. They were pushing back. You know, when you clap, go, shoo, shoo. Demons hate when you clap. Shoo. When you're praising and worshiping the Lord, you go shoo. You're pushing them back. They were pushing back the presence of darkness. They were pushing back the demonic forces and making room for the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon them. They would prophesy. They were taking dominion, authority. They were given the word. It's not like this. Yeah, I'm warfaring all right. The only thing you're warfaring on is trying to stay awake. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 15. Ephesians 1:15. Let's speak this together, please. Is everybody there? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why is interceding for me, was warfaring for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he was praying for. This is what his prayer was for the saints. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? Give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of him. That your what? Your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, and his inheritance in the saints. And what is the what? Exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And what? And what? Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this. Where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, I want to grab hold of this, okay? Okay, so he is seated far above all of this. And it says we are seated with him. As man thinks, so he is. That the name above all names, that every knee shall bow. See, when you say in the name of Jesus, if you know, if you really know your place of authority and dominion, something's going to happen. So we don't pray in vain. We pray with authority. We take dominion because of where we're seated. Not because we did it, but because He did it, but because now we follow, we're in that place. So we're not led by how we feel or what we see carnally. We are led by the Spirit. And there is a difference, isn't there? Amen? So if Jesus is seated far above, right? We're seated with Him. Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Let's read this together, please. Now this is the main point of the things we are seeing. We have such a high priest who is what? Seated. Who is what? Seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. In the what? Heavens. In other words, He's got dominion over all the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, he was making the tabernacle in the natural realm as a copy of what was already in the spirit realm. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern which you have on the mountain." So the pattern that the Lord gave to Moses was the same pattern that was in the throne room and the tabernacle in the heavenlies. In verse 6, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." So in this area where there's a better covenant, better promises, we've been restored back to the seats of dominion. In Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turned on a Tuesday night. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Well, if he was working in the sons of disobedience, did they have dominion and authority? No. So was that authority and dominion of darkness controlling us then? Yes. Everyone say yes. In verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together in what?" And did what? Did he ask you? He made us. He made us. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Does everybody grab hold of this? He made us sit. He chose you. You didn't choose him. "Well, I thought I chose him when I got saved." No, he chose you before you chose him. "That in the ages to come," verse 7, "he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Does everybody see this? Amen? Does everybody see this? So we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, who is seated at the throne room in the right hand of God Almighty. I would say that's pretty powerful. And he's given me and you the name that's above all names. That's why it says, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He says, in my name they will what? Cast out devils. In my name they will speak with new tongues. In my name they will raise the dead. In my name they will lay hands on the sick. In my name they will decree. In my name. Because his name penetrates everywhere. It's above all authority of the darkness. Above all things that were and are, He is. So I am because He is. Amen? Doesn't mean we're God. He's God, but the God in us, the God in us, the King of glory, the anointing, the Spirit of Christ that lives in us, that rose Jesus from the dead, that put on flesh and came into this realm, who lives in me and you, is restored us with Him. His desire is that we are one with Him. That's why His greatest desire is that we are like-minded. 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 Does everybody got it? That's why it's so important to stay filled with the Spirit. Staying filled with the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, He made us sit in the heavenly places. And He says, and we should walk in this arena. We should walk according to this way. With authority, not pride, but with authority, with boldness, we should walk this way. 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this what? Treasure in earth in vessels. It says we, not all man, we. That what? The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That the power may be of God and not of us. Now let me explain something with this, because when there's power, there's boldness. There's boldness. He desired that we have boldness. Paul prayed for boldness. Grant me boldness. Amen? Boldness. Now there's boldness of the flesh, boldness of the soul, and boldness of the spirit. And we'll talk about it in a second. Verse 8. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So no matter what we're going through, we still have dominion. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. We still have dominion. As long as you're not taken off of that seat of dominion. And again, what will take you off of that seat of dominion is transgression, sin, amen, fear. Fear moves people right out of the way. That the power may be of God and not of ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 14, Ephesians 3:14. Let's read it together. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be what? Strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That you may be filled with the what? The fullness of God. He's saying, man, this is, I bow my knees to this. He said, look it. If we could just really know who we are, if we could really comprehend who we are, see, the world impresses us constantly. We look in the mirror, that's really not you. That's a temporary you. You can clean it, you can wash it, and you can paint it. You can shave it, you can comb it, amongst other things. But this is going. It's all temporary. The real you is inside, because you are born again of the Spirit, not of the flesh. People ask me my age, I don't tell them. I said, listen, Jesus left at 33, I'm staying right there too. I might have a little bit more aches and pains, but praise God. In James chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 20. I didn't finish. Verse 20. Let's say it. Now to what? Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to what? According to what? According to what? The power what? That works in us. According to the power that works in us. Why? Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. These are seats of dominion. And to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4. I'm skipping James. Hey, all things are subject to change here. I'm not going to get pushed off my seat. 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 3. Somewhere around there. Let's see. Let's start with verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Hello. There it is. We can all go home now. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, where they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, what spirit are you testing? The person. There's two things that we're testing. The person and the voice you're hearing. Has everybody got it? The person and the voice you're hearing. By this we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And we see everything being pushed towards the Antichrist. We see the Antichrist beginning to take his position. Verse 4, read it with me. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Why? Because you're seated in seats of dominion. It says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He who is on us is greater than he is in the world, because we have seats of dominion. In Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. In verse 8. Is everybody there? Okay, let's read this together. Then Peter, what? I said, what? Filled with what? Filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, why? Because he had boldness, didn't he? Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. See that word, must. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now this is awesome. Now Jesus wasn't there anymore, was he? But they realized that they'd been with Jesus. Why? Because they were like-minded. They were speaking in authority. They were doing the same things that Jesus. They knew that they were with Jesus because of the boldness they had, the dominion that they had. They saw it. They said, man, don't you want people to know that you're with Jesus? I mean, you can go out somewhere and you know somebody's with you. You're with the Lord, aren't you? Yeah. You can tell that with some people. Of course, some people you can let them, well, you're with the demons, aren't you? I remember I said to someone, you need, instead of saying that, I said, you need Jesus. And they said, yes, I do. Praise God. It was the simplest salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and they had boldness, didn't they? Hallelujah. In verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Is everybody there? Okay. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, because we are seated in heavenly places. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness succeeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use what? Great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. So in this, we use great boldness. Everyone say boldness. Now, again, there is boldness of the flesh, which we call pride. In fact, Peter fell into that. I mean, he told Jesus, look, I'll never deny you. You know, I'll fight for you. In fact, when he was in the garden, what did he do? He cut off the dude's ear, right? That's pretty boldness. And Jesus picked it up, slapped it back on his head. You know, if you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Peter had boldness, but it was boldness of the flesh. See, when you do something and you're doing the boldness of the flesh, what is going to occur when you make that mistake in the boldness? You're going to blame others. The boldness of the soul is when you make that mistake, you're going to make excuses. Come on. See, because people try to be bold out of the soulish arena. They're led by emotion. So by their emotions and feelings, they make decisions. I'm going to make this decision because I feel this way. And then when they blow it, they make excuses. So again, the boldness of the flesh will blame others. The boldness of the soul will make excuses. But the boldness of the Spirit will witness Christ. There's a difference. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Seats of dominion? Are you in the seat of dominion? Luke 4, verse 33. Luke 4, 33. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. Don't know of anyone that was clean. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we done with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." See, even the demons know. They acknowledge the anointing. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, now the demon left, but he threw the dude to the ground. It came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and what power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." With authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they do what? They come out. Sport. Cast out demons. That's the sport of the kingdom. In Luke 9. verse 1. Luke 9, verse 1. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now you're going to get the religious sect that says, well, that's only in that time. He only gave them to the disciples. Only the 12 disciples that were hanging around Jesus. No. If he's seated in heavenly places right now with dominion and power, and we're seated with him, and he made us to sit with him, guess what? That's incorrect doctrine then, isn't it? It wasn't for the people then. It's for everyone that's willing to follow him. And Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Has everybody got it? Luke 10, and verse 18. Luke 10, verse 18. Then Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Why? He dethroned him. Anyone that's under Christ, Satan does not have dominion over you as long as you stay seated in the seat of dominion and not get pushed out. Behold, verse 19, come on, speak it with me. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing but shall by any means what? Hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are what? Subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My goodness, if people would realize that the demons are subject to us. But they're not subject to you if you're not seated in dominion. So if you're living in sin, transgression, if you've been removed, if you've been moved out of the seat of dominion, of course, it's real easy to get back in there. Repent. Hello, get back. In Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Seats of dominion. Philippians chapter 4. Is everybody there? In verse 12. Verse 12, let's speak it. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, but to both abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does everybody see it? I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can do all things. You know, you can quote that scripture, but if you're living in sin, how are you going to do it? Seats of dominion. Listen, one thing you want to do is be backed by the anointing. You don't need to be backed by the flesh. It ain't going to do nothing. And I'm going to close with 2 Timothy chapter 1. Know who you are. Is everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Therefore I what? Remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. One of the things we need to do is stir ourselves up. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues stirs up your most holy faith. We need to stir ourselves up. Does everybody understand that? You know, people get oppressed. Man, we all go through it. But we need to turn on the switches. I'm going to tell you a testimony. Not tonight. I'm saving it for Sunday. But anyways, in this, we need to stir ourselves up. It says here something very powerful. Why? Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we see that the spirit of fear is going to nullify that power, love, and sound mind, isn't it? It's going to ache. Why? Because it's going to move you out of the seat of dominion. There's two areas in the area of fear. Look at fear. Fear is a spirit. It is a root. And what fear likes to do, it likes to bring intimidation, and it likes to bring anxiousness. Intimidation prevents you from doing what you're supposed to do, and anxiousness moves you out of God's timing. And we'll talk about that more later. So we are to stir ourselves up in the Spirit, amen, so that we can stand strong and bold. No matter what's been said, no matter what's going on, don't let fear, sin, transgression, and the lust of this world move you off that seat of dominion. It's been granted to me and you. And my gosh, more than any time right now, we sure need to have the power of Christ flowing through the body of Christ. Things are not getting better out there. Amen? But they're getting better in here. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that this seed be imparted and protected by the blood of the Lamb. I pray, Father, that your people would be on fire, not lukewarm, not cold, but on fire, that they may go out and start Holy Ghost arsonists, that they will take dominion over themselves, over their thoughts, over their emotions, and over the powers of darkness, constantly dethroning them in every area of their life, that Christ would have dominion, preeminence in everything that we do, and Christ be glorified in Jesus' name. Anybody said amen? Hallelujah. I want to thank all the listeners and the viewers. And for more teachings and resources, please visit us at theeternallibrary.org. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and heal you and uplift you, because you're a new creation in Christ. And old things have passed away, and all things are made new in Christ Jesus.